I know we, throughout the celebration concert of Christ, celebrating Him, that we've been expressing, certainly with applause, our appreciation for all the great singing and the great message. Why don't we just give them a round of applause right now and thank Marsha for her direction, the leading of the choir, selecting of all the choruses, the hymns, and why don't we just give a round of applause for that. Thank you, choir. Thank you, men and lady back there, taking care of all the audio. You know, it never ceases to amaze me. And maybe it amazes you too. And I pray that it never ceases to amaze us together then, of how wonderfully and amazingly the Lord has blessed our church family with men and women with talent. Talent to sing, talent with instruments, talents in many, many other ways. But how, not only having that talent, but willing and able to use all that talent for His glory. We praise the Lord for that, and we just thank Him for what He has given by His grace. But the greatest gift of all, His Son, Jesus Christ, whom we celebrate, not just today, not just December 25th, but we celebrate Jesus every day of our lives. Amen? If you know Him, that's exactly what your heart's desire and your delight is, to celebrate Jesus Christ. We've been looking at the greatest gift of all, given to every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, but that gift has to be received like any gift. Any gift with your name on it, it becomes yours when that gift is received by you personally. That greatest gift of all, and you've heard it many times throughout the celebration service, is the very Son of God, Jesus Christ. But we're also looking at how we're told and repeatedly throughout scriptures in many ways and shown in many examples how through Jesus Christ we have everything we need for life and godliness. And through the greatest gift of all that God continues to shower us with His gifts. And so we've been looking at the gifts that we, you and I, receive every day through Jesus Christ our Lord. I'd like to ask you to turn to your bulletins and just take out the outline, if you will. We've looked at the gift of forgiveness. We've looked at the gift of peace. We've looked at the gift of fellowship. Those are gifts that God gives us in Christ Jesus. For without Him, we wouldn't understand, we wouldn't experience the fullness of those gifts. We're looking at the gift of joy today, this morning. Now I know, and I've seen it in my family as well, and you probably have experienced it in your family this time of year for many. Yes, it's with joy, but at the same time it's with sorrow and sadness. And because there's a chair that's going to be empty there at that table when you celebrate together. But you know the Lord Jesus Christ, because of who He is, because of what He's done, dying there on that cross as a sacrifice for your sins and for my sins and for the sins of the whole world, and then rising from the grave. It also says in the scriptures that He bears our sorrows. Think of that. I know many of you are looking back and you've had some sorrows this past year. But He bears your sorrows with you. Please remember that. God has declared that in His Word and in His Son, Jesus Christ. But He's also said something else. For the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you and I, yes, there are sorrows on this side of heaven. There always will be. But He gives joy, real, true joy, in the very midst of those sorrows. We want to take a look this morning at the gift. It's not just that happiness for a season, happiness for a moment, but a joy, true joy from heaven. So if you take out your outline, if you will, as we take a look through God's Word of this great gift and the greatest gift of all, Jesus Christ, the gift of joy. What is that joy? You find that it's hard to define it with one clear definition, because you have to experience it in order to understand it. You have to know the Lord Jesus Christ in order to experience it. And even there, Peter says it's a joy that's inexpressible and full of glory. Many have tried to make a definition for it. Webster's Dictionary, many other dictionaries. But I want to share this, if you will, this explanation. And it's not a defining definition, but it's experiencing the light and satisfaction in the Lord, His blessings, His presence, and in a growing relationship with Him and with others. You know, when God created man and women in His image, He wanted them, right from the very start, to experience His joy. I know that because God is the great source of this joy that we're looking at this morning. And I hope that you've already begun to experience it, Christ Jesus. You see, joy is important to the Lord for you and I to experience in Him every day. Yes, in the valleys of sorrow, in the struggles of life. But like Nehemiah says, joy, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And that's true. It truly is. You realize that there are more than 150 words used in references to joy in the Bible. There are alone 25 Hebrew words in the Old Testament that are translated joy or a synonym thereof, like gladness of heart or rejoicing. And in the New Testament, there are at least 10 Greek words that are used to translate that concept, that word, that experience. Oh, joy. It just shows you, if you will, in God's Word, and in God's work, in your life, and in my life, in the life of Christ's church, joy is a very important factor. Joy is a very important experience that He wants us to have every day of our lives. How's your joy factor this morning? I've got to come to church, my wife won't. How's your joy factor this morning? Take a look in God's Word and see some more about this joy. First of all, if you will, in your outline before you, good news of great joy was the announcement, the angelic announcement at Christ's birth. Take a look. And the angel said to them, to the shepherds, they around the pasture lands in the Bethlehem area, "Hear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy." Not just joy, but great joy that will be for all people, both Jew and Gentile alike. Well, what is that news of great joy? He continued to tell them, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David," just as God had promised, just as God had prophesied through His prophets, "in the city of David, a Savior." Long-awaited Savior. Going way back there into, if you will, the day in the garden when the Lord said, after Adam and Eve sinned against God in disobedience, a seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent. That seed, of course, we know to be Jesus Christ. And all these successive promises, you can see that scarlet thread of God's promise, the promise of His Son, Jesus Christ, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. You see, the shepherds searched for Him, and they found Him, and they rejoiced greatly in the Lord, and were telling others about the one they found. The wise men, they sought for Him also. They found Him and they worshipped Him. And with exceedingly great joy, they rejoiced in God and gave glory to Him. And everyone, man or woman, boy or girl today, when they found the one whom they had searched for, Jesus Christ, the Savior, when they have found Him, they rejoice. And know that that's the one. That's the one that my heart, my soul has longed for. Because God has put within every heart, within every soul, that special place for His Son, Jesus Christ.
Have you taken residence in your heart? If he has, then you know. You really know about this joy. Take a look, if you will, in God's Word. There is great joy in heaven over the salvation of a lost soul. Now, the atmosphere of heaven is filled with joy. There's singing, there's rejoicing, there's celebration. It even talks of the marriage feast of the Lamb. So there's that celebration going on in heaven. Yes, it's worship, but worship is a celebration. It's a celebration of God and all that is given to us in His Son, Jesus Christ. It's a celebration of who He is and what He's done. Heaven is filled with the atmosphere of joy and celebration. And Jesus wanted us to remember that when He gave that parable, actually three parables, there in Luke chapter 15. Often chapter 15 is referred to God's lost and found. Three examples. The woman with a necklace given to her as a gift with 10 gold coins. Lo and behold, one morning she gets up to put the necklace on and there's one coin missing. And it says in Luke 15 that she cleaned out the whole house. She was so distraught because she lost that one coin. Well, she had 9 others still, but she lost that one. A gift that was given to her. Then she found that coin. And she rejoiced. And she called her neighbors in to have that same joy with her and rejoice with her. Take a look at what the Lord says there in Luke 15, 7. And I tell you that in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. The next parable was with a shepherd. He had 100 sheep. Pretty wealthy shepherd to have 100 sheep in those days. One got lost. Well, he had the 99. Even 99 would be certainly indicative of a very prosperous shepherd. But he left the 99 with the other flocks of his friends to search out one, that lost lamb. That's what he found. Again, a picture of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ coming into the world to seek and to save that which is lost. And in this illustration too, the Lord concludes that illustration of the shepherd finding that lost lamb and putting that lost lamb on his shoulder and carrying it back to the fold, rejoicing and telling the other shepherds in that pasture, like, come, celebrate with me. And the Lord says, in the same way I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Joy in heaven. The atmosphere of heaven is joy. And God wants that to be, if you will, the heart atmosphere of all of His children. The atmosphere of your life and my life in Christ Jesus, one filled with joy. And then again, you know that same parable, the lost son. You know the story. Father had 2 sons. The youngest said to his father, Father, I want my inheritance now. Give me my portion. I'm going to leave home. I'm not happy here. I want to leave home. The father, I'm sure, was distraught and grieved at heart. But he gave that younger son his portion of his inheritance. And you know the story. He squandered it on all sorts of riotous living. Of course, he then quickly worked as a slave because he had nothing. And then it dawned on him, you know, the slaves who served my father in his house, they eat all their meals, they have everything cared for and everything in my father's house. I'll go to my father and tell him and confess that I have sinned against him and I've sinned against heaven and I'd be willing to serve him, not as a son, but as a slave. He went home. But before he got there, the father was always looking for the return of his son. And it says in that parable, spoken by the Lord, the father saw the son from afar coming, now dressed in rags, head down, and having rehearsed in his heart, I'm sure, over and over again, that confession and contriteness that he would express to his father. I come to you not as a son, but now as a servant, as a slave. His father ran to him. So unusual, so unexpected in that culture for an older man to run, lifting up his outer garments and running and grasping and holding on to his son and embracing him and kissing him. And the son began to confess. That confession he probably rehearsed many times. Father, I'm no longer worthy to be your son. I come not as a son, but I come as your slave. The father would have nothing to do with that. No, you will be my son forever. You always are and always will be. Come, bring him a robe, bring him sandals, and put a ring on his finger. He might then have returned. Then, of course, you know the story. The ungrateful older son. They threw a party for that young man coming back. They were celebrating. The older son, the brother of the son that came back and received fully with celebration. Why are you celebrating him? He's nothing. Father, I served you every day faithfully. You've given me no celebration. But what did the father say to that son? Take a look at your outline for you. But we have to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Yes. Celebration is the atmosphere. Joy is the atmosphere of heaven. When one sinner, one man, woman, boy, or girl, come to God and confess, I see this heaven in you, Lord. I come. Forgive my sins. Cleanse me. To receive the Son of God. Every time you and I lose something or someone, and we find that something or someone, we rejoice. Oh, there you are! And we rejoice. It should remind us of heaven. Heaven rejoices. That moment that you came to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, heaven was rejoicing. There was joy, unspeakable and full of God's glory. You see, that's what Christmas is all about. It's not just giving and exchanging gifts. Remember one time someone said, how come we give gifts at Christmas time? Where did it ever come from? Was that St. Nicholas over there in Holland? No! We give gifts at Christmas because we remember God gave His greatest gift to you and to me, His Son, Jesus Christ. And the moment, that moment that any man, any woman, realizing they are a sinner and need that Savior that was proclaimed and rejoiced of the angels of glory to the shepherds there in Bethlehem, a Savior is born who will redeem all people. The moment a boy or girl or man or woman says, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive my sins. Lord Jesus, come in and be my Lord and be my Savior. Something happens. Our sins are forgiven. Joy to sin. Because Jesus is here. Do you have His joy? If you have Jesus, you have His joy. Yes, there's joy in heaven when a sinner is saved. There is great joy in the heart when that sinner is saved. Take a look at Isaiah, if you will, in the outline. Surely God is my salvation, Isaiah says there in the Old Testament. I will trust and not be afraid. It's interesting. If you have joy in the Lord, when you are experiencing and expressing that joy, it's really hard to be afraid. Did you know that? One of the things that will really dispel fear is not only the love of God, but also the joy that you have in the Lord. But let's go on. It says, the Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. With joy He will draw water from the well of salvation. Have you come to Jesus Christ? Not just a baby in Bethlehem. Yes, He's all of that and so much more. He told the woman, the Samaritan woman there at the well, that He's the living water. He's the water that gives eternal life. Have you come? Have you quenched your thirsty soul in the living water, Jesus Christ? That's what Isaiah is talking about. is quenching, if you will, the thirst of that inner life when you know that only God can fill and quench. Again, Peter, you believe in Him and rejoice in Him with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Just some of you, if you will, some of the many reasons for the gospel joy that you and I can have every day of our lives, not just Christmas time, but every day of our lives. Take a look at this, and this is just a short list. God has a long list, and it's all there in His Word. But I take, if you will, some of that and give you a short list this morning. I share that with you. The joy of salvation. The gospel is good news. It's not bad news. It's the bad news that we're sinners, but the good news we have a Savior. Amen? And that He died for your sins and my sins, and He rose again from the grave. We have the joy of the forgiveness of our sins. How many people struggle with shame and guilt of something or some things they've done in the past toward others? And maybe also, in their heart of hearts, they realize that they've also sinned against God. But God has an answer. God has a solution. That answer is forgiveness. And the name is Jesus Christ. The joy of forgiveness, knowing that our sins are paid for. Joy of a new life, a fresh start. Joy of eternal relationship with God as Father. The joy of fellowship that we never had before. The joy of worship that was never there before. The joy of giving. Giving cheerfully. From the heart. Not just from the wallet. But from the heart. Joy of the Lord's presence in our lives. Never to be abandoned. Never to be forsaken. The coming joy of seeing Jesus Christ face to face. This great joy is given to all who receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. If you're here this morning and you have celebrated Christmas year after year after year, and certainly the celebration of Christmas has been moved with happiness, with joy, especially when families get together. And again, I'm aware that some are here this morning realizing too that your experience is still that sorrow of a lost loved one. But I can tell you personally, and I can tell you from God's own word, that in the midst of our sorrow and grief, God will give us joy. God will give us joy of knowing Him. God will give us the joy of His presence with us. God will give us the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ every day, that our delight becomes more and more in who He is and what He's done. Friend, if you're here this morning desiring to know and experience this great joy, I've got good news for you. You can. You can right now. Absolutely, positively, unequivocally, you can experience this great joy that God has for you. But you know something? Listen. You get it not by going to church. You won't go to church. You don't get it by being baptized. Nothing wrong with being baptized. You don't get it by doing good works. Nothing wrong with good works. But it starts with receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. In order to do that, dear friend, you need to act in faith. Believing and trusting all that Christ is declared to be and has proven Himself to be. Not just the sinless Him, but the sinless, perfect Son of God, who taught, who healed, and who died on Calvary's cross for you and for me. That same David in Bethlehem, becoming a man who lived a holy and perfect life, that He could be the Lamb of God, determined before the foundations of the world that He would die for you, for me, for the sins of the world. And the story doesn't stop there. He rose again from the grave. victorious. That He is indeed that ever-living, everlasting, ever-loving Savior who gives great joy. Actually, take a look, if you will, at your outline. A. Acknowledge that you are a sinner and that Jesus died for your sins. You might be saying, really?
Bill, I did that already many, many years ago.
Have your joy back. Is a lack of joy saying something to you that maybe you really didn't do? Real faith, trust, reliance, this is God in Jesus Christ. Because you were so moved by emotion. Maybe, I don't know. I was there. I haven't given my life to Jesus Christ. And boy, did I have joy. Did I have the forgiveness of my sins? Did I have a whole new direction in my life? And knowing that He is truly my Savior. Act. Acknowledge that you are a sinner and that Jesus Christ died for your sins. Commit your life that there is a Savior as a Lord of your life. Trust to Him to guide you and give you the joy of your salvation today. Well, maybe you're here this morning. You're saying, Bill, I believe I've received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I have no doubt. I have no doubt that maybe you did. But Bill, I'll tell you, right now I think I'm like David. And I no longer have that joy. I no longer have that fullness of satisfaction in Christ that I had before. Now it's just a mere religion. I've drifted away like David. Remember when David sinned in adultery and murder? He sinned against God and he sinned against others. And David was like that for almost a year, denying it, trying to hide, trying to cover it up. Then finally David was convicted. And when he confessed to the Lord, and you can read that confession in Psalm 51, you know what David prayed for in addition to the forgiveness of his sins? He said, "Oh Lord, restore to me the joy of your salvation." How's your joy factor? How's your satisfaction and delight in Jesus Christ? Oh yes, He's the babe in Bethlehem. The promised Son of God that was given. But He's also the man who died on the cross. Fully God and fully man. For your sins and for my sins. For the sins of the whole world. That you and I could have the joy of His salvation. The joy of the forgiveness of our sins. After being finally confessed, and He acted. In fact, take a look at your outline. Just like David. Act in faith. Acknowledge your heart's condition to the Lord. Confess your need to be forgiven and your heart to be cleansed. Trust Jesus, your Savior, to do exactly what you need and what He promised to do. David said, "Lord, forgive me. Restore the joy of your salvation." And you know what? God did it. In fact, in Psalm 32, you should read that maybe today. And the joy of forgiveness that He wrote about and sung about and prayed about. God rewarded that in His Word so you and I can experience that same joy. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He will do that. He's promised to do that. "These things have I spoken to you," the Lord Jesus says, "that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full." You know, this amazing joy that is a gift from Jesus Christ, the greatest gift of all, Himself. This amazing joy is the fruit of the Holy Spirit that every believer in Jesus Christ can have and experience. Having this joy that only Jesus can give you and me brings rejoicing in our hearts, refreshing to our souls, and a renewing of our minds. It's a Spirit-given outcome of loving the Lord with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul. Because that joy that you have in Christ goes hand in hand with the love that you have, reflecting the great love, the amazing, unconditional love that He has. Having this joy in the Lord can be also a strong defense against doubt, against despair, and even against depression, which are like the hounds of hell chasing Christians. And those hounds of hell, doubt, despair, and depression, been chasing you through life. The answer is Jesus. That joy is a strong defense against all things. That's why God says in His Word, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Would you join with me in prayer? Father, we thank you. We thank you, Father, for the greatest gift of all, the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we realize that there's great celebration going on culturally and around the world, in other cultures too, celebrating Christmas. But Lord, we're gathered here this Lord's Day, and every day, Father, it's our heart's desire and our heart's delight to celebrate your Son, Jesus Christ, every day of our lives. And we thank you, Father, that the greatest gift of all, your Son, Jesus Christ, continually gives us those gifts of forgiveness, of peace, of fellowship, of joy. Lord, I pray for all who are here. Lord, I pray for every man, every woman, every boy, every girl. Lord, I just pray for your Holy Spirit to minister to their hearts. May they know the joy of their salvation in you, Lord Jesus. And may they know that joy that only you can give, even in the midst of sorrow and grief. That joy that will be their delight, their strength, and their sustaining work of your grace in their lives this morning and every day. So Lord, thank you. Thank you that we can celebrate, Father, your Son, Jesus Christ, and all that He is and all that He gives, and the greatest of all, the giving of His life for our salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.